Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, here we go again. The liberal Lee newspapers, and this time even the Montana Television Network, they refused to cover this news when the news was actually news. I mean, now it's, I got to go back and look at when we first reported this story about the Billings Skyview High School teacher who was allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. When did we first report that story? And then we shared an update from Kat in eastern Montana. She posted on X that the teacher apparently had been, you know, we told you how we confirmed with School District 2 that the teacher was under investigation and had been sent home while the investigation was underway. And then we got an update from Kat in eastern Montana that this Billings Skyview teacher who was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk was going to be reassigned within the district. Now, when I reached out to School District 2, that all they would tell me is that the investigation was still underway. But apparently the news has now come out that the teacher has been reassigned. So apparently what Kat was telling us several days ago has now happened. So was the decision already made, or was that just where the district was leaning at the time? Well, either way, we'll find out on that one, or maybe not. But yeah, the Billings Gazette and KTVQ both now have stories saying that the teacher has been reassigned, but their reporters are not being allowed to name the teacher who was allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Isn't that interesting? Because if you're a police officer, if you're a cop, if you're a sheriff's deputy, and you get into an officer-involved shooting, and you are dealing with hardened criminals, they will name you in a heartbeat. Well, how many weeks later are we after this story came out? And they're just now getting to this story? They're just now covering this news? The news, look, I do commentary, but we end up breaking a lot of news in the meantime as well. But I do commentary. Why am I beating the news at the news? The news should be covering the news, and then I should be doing commentary reacting to the news. But I'm beating the news at doing the news. And so here you have the Billings Gazette, like I say, that would name a cop in a heartbeat and tell every criminal out there who the cop is that was involved in whatever situation that took place the day before. In fact, the Billings Gazette, the liberal Lee newspapers, and even the Scripps TV stations, they will sue the legislature in a heartbeat. The Republicans, not if the Democrats are running it. They will sue a Republican governor. They will sue your local police department demanding public information. They will publish a cop's name in an instant. No apologies, no regrets whatsoever. But a high school teacher who deals with school kids and not hardened criminals like the police officers do, they refuse to name the guy. Refuse to even name. Why are they covering for him, but then attacking our law enforcement officers? Anyway, we'll talk more about this story here coming up right after this. And then Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund joined us later in the day yesterday. You got to hear what she had to say.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay somewhere in the lower to middle 60s. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear to partly cloudy with overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine with highs from 60 in Bozeman to the mid to upper 60s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
On Monday, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced the implementation of Operation Riverwall, which will see the Coast Guard employ more than 100 boats and hundreds of personnel to better secure the Rio Grande River and further prevent illegal immigration and drug smuggling into the U.S. Speaking in Florida, Noem reflected on the progress DHS has made since President Trump took office.
Since January, the Department of Homeland Security has arrested over 480,000 criminal illegal aliens. 70% of those individuals have criminal charges against them or have been convicted of those criminal charges.
Noem pledging further.
We're not going to let individuals terrorize our streets anymore, and we're not going to let them make victims out of families that live in this country.
And adding that the efforts will continue.
We will go after them, bring them to justice, and we will save lives.
Kitten Rescue, Fox News.
Whoa, man. Tick-tock. The clock is ticking for the Montana Federation of Public Employees. What a powerful segment we had on the show for Tuesday's Montana Talks. Let's see, what do we got coming up for Wednesday's show? That's right, we got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970 is the number. Put it in your speed dial because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take you statewide every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, right here.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at FeedingAmerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was looking at, I just did a quick search here. Montana Talks, Skyview teacher, Charlie Kirk. That's the only search I did. And it was over a month ago. It was like a month and a week ago we had this story. Billings teacher under investigation for celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. And look, we said allegedly, we confirmed with the school district. We had a source close to the to school district 2 that gave us the initial information. I confirmed it with school district 2. Credit to Kat in Eastern Montana who first shared this information, including screenshots with what this school teacher had to say. And now the Billings Gazette is covering it. Now KTVQ is covering it. And by the way, I would add probably through no fault of their reporters, I will guarantee you this is management decisions. This is partisan ideologues that are in charge of these TV stations now that are probably not allowing their reporting team. I don't have any information. You know, let me just say this is just my speculation on this one. I haven't talked with any of these reporters, so this is just me speculating here. But I'll bet you this is management ordering these reporters to not report the real news. Not in the Billings Gazette case. I mean, you read that story, and that guy is obviously just some, you know, Democrat activist pretending to be a journalist once again. But anyway, yeah, over a month ago, we reported this story. Did these guys bother to report the story? Were they allowed to report the story? Why doesn't the news report the news? But now they've got stories. And the Billings Gazette story, it's like, wow. You guys couldn't even report this news. Let me just read part of the Billings Gazette story here this morning. A Billings Skyview High School teacher has been reassigned to another position within the district after making a comment related to the death of right-wing commentator Charlie Kirk. Could you imagine if a high school teacher called for, like, the assassination of Barack Hussein Obama or was celebrating the death of a Democrat politician or activist? Could you imagine the reaction? Do you think they would refuse to name that teacher? The teachers' union intends to pursue legal options after learning of the reassignment. Apparently, the teachers' union runs school district 2. The school board doesn't run school district 2. Parents, teachers, voters, taxpayers, you do not run your local school district. Apparently, the leadership of the teachers union runs the school district. By the way, this is the same teachers union that slapped their own teachers in the face with a mask mandate, even though their own teachers overwhelmingly voted against a mask mandate. You remember that one? Yeah, same teachers union leadership that doesn't even care what their own union member. They will slap you in the face with a mask mandate that you vote against, but you celebrate the assassination of a conservative commentator, of a Christian patriot like Charlie Kirk. Ow, the union is going to rise to your defense. Wow. And you can tell here that they are, they feel like, that the school board feels like they have to bow down and kiss the ring of the far left teacher union leadership here. But here's the line from this Billings Gazette story. The Gazette is not naming the teacher over concerns of furthering harassment. Wait, oh, so parents are outraged that there would be a teacher in their kid's classroom that thinks that people should, you know, deserve to die because of their beliefs? Oh, but the parents are concerned about that. That's harassment. Well, that's funny because you guys named me in this story. You guys named Kat in this story. She was the one who really first started reporting this story. She has faced death threats. In fact, any of us who commented on her reporting about this this English teacher at Skyview, Dan Johnson is his name, by the way, we all were faced with death threats. In fact, I wonder if law enforcement has conducted an investigation or any progress on an investigation into who was issuing these death threats. But, you know, that's funny. We actually got death threats, public death threats that you can actually read on an open thread on X. Billings Gazette isn't worried about that. They're not worried about Kat in eastern Montana getting death threats. They're not worried about, you know, other members of the community getting death threats. But this teacher is being harassed because he celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And they're refusing to name the name of the teacher. How pathetic is that? Again, when I was reading this story, I was actually listening to the news, making a cup of coffee, and then I had to post a couple of things on X here. I said this, again, the liberal Lee newspapers refused to cover the story, but now they provide cover for someone who celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And they also confirm what we had already reported. By the way, Billings Gazette, what you should do is say, hey, citizen journalist Kat had covered this story. She basically said that the guy was reassigned. Now we've confirmed that he was reassigned. Instead, they criticize and attack citizen journalists and protect somebody who is paid to be in a position of trust by you, the taxpayers. And then I said, notice how they refuse to name the teacher. They'll name a cop in a heartbeat. Cops deal with hardened criminals. This teacher deals with school kids. Look, remember when they refused to name the cop on the Capitol Police cop on January 6th who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt? They will name every cop in America practically who's in an officer-involved shooting, but they didn't want to name that one. Again, these people will publicly name and target police officers, Billings police officers, but they won't name a school teacher celebrating a political assassination? Absolutely pathetic.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Former Democratic Michigan Congresswoman Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick died recently. She served in the House for 14 years representing Detroit and serving on the Appropriations Committee. Kilpatrick led the Congressional Black Caucus in 2007 and 2008. Kilpatrick was a pivotal vote for the 2008 passage of TARP, the fiscal bailout package to ease an economic crisis. Kilpatrick voted against the initial $700 billion plan, then was one of 33 Democrats who switched their votes to pass the bill after it failed. Kilpatrick helped elevate her son, former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. She received criticism for missing votes in Congress while helping him campaign. Her son resigned as mayor and was later convicted on federal charges of bribery and racketeering. President Trump later pardoned him. Kilpatrick first ran for Congress in 1996 when her predecessor, Barbara Rose Collins, was the target of DOJ and House Ethics Committee probes. She beat Collins by 20 percentage points in the primary. Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick was 80 years old. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
If you have an...
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, hey, this week, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a request from Western ranchers to hear an important corner crossing case. Back in August, the Wyoming Stock Growers, Wyoming Wool Growers, along with the Montana Stock Growers Associations, filed an amicus brief with our nation's highest court. Wyoming Stock Growers Association President Reg Phillips says the Supreme Court's decision is disappointing, to say the least, on this very important private property issue.
Stock growers had filed an amicus brief for that, and we were hoping it would go the way to settle some issues. You know, can you do it or can you not? I guess that's one thing we were really looking for. But the other one is we were hoping that maybe out of that would come some guidelines here. And right now, you know, people can step around a corner, but where is that corner? And what do you mean by stepping over the corner? It didn't really say so. Can you throw your electronic bike over the corner? Can you get your four-wheeler over the corner? And then when you go there, are we going to be looking at some trespass issues on private land, which is one of our bigger fears?
Now, the original litigation actually centered around four hunters who accessed checkerboarded public land via a ladder over the corner of private property. However, Reg says this issue now goes way beyond hunting season.
Everybody just kind of felt like this is for hunters only, but with this making the news here, I believe we're going to see more of that happening throughout the year, especially, you know, when the weather gets good, people are going to be out. And at the same time, you know, producers have got livestock out there. Some of them are calving. Some of them are moving their cattle through the range. And you've got people in the middle of this, and they don't have a clue what's going on. And so you're going to disturb their operations, and you can do some impact to their livestock. Maybe they lose some weight because they're being run around. So we were hoping for some clarity there, and it didn't happen.
Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
This is Rachel Gable at Western Ag Network. Ag news can be heavy, and making a living in this industry can really be challenging. We understand. If you or someone you know needs a mental health resource, the AgriStress Helpline has trained folks answering calls and texts to 833-897-2474. We're proud you turned to us for your ag news, and we want to remind you just how valuable you are. Be careful. And don't forget to check your cows, check your fields, and check your neighbors.
Farmers and ranchers, let Tillman Equipment help you invest in your ag operation and give less to the IRS with a new tractor, combine, or sprayer from AgCo, Massey Ferguson, Heston, and now the legendary Fimp. Trusted brands by a family-owned dealership. Let the Tillman Equipment team help you with your production and efficiency. After all, time is money, your money, not the government's. Tillman Equipment in Haver, Fort Benton with Triangle Egg, and now in Great Falls. For more information, visit TillmanEquipment.com. Well, according to AgriPulse, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says that the Trump administration is moving forward with distributing commodity program payments due to farmers this month, and also plans to resume Farm Service Agency core operations. Now, the payments have been held up by the partial government shutdown, which is ongoing, which has largely closed FSA field offices and operations across the nation. About $1.9 billion in ARC payments
and $589 million in PLC payments are expected to be made this year. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I've been parsing up some Jesse Waters clips from his opening segment last night, his opening monologue. I was listening to it while I was running kids around, and my goodness, Laura Ingraham had some great stuff as well. So many great highlights to get to here this morning, but I should get back to some more of this local Montana news. Okay, all right, we already talked about this school teacher reassigned. Sounds like somebody had very good spot-on information that we shared with you on the radio. What was that, over a week ago now, maybe 2 weeks ago now? Let's see, what was that other local news story that I wanted to get to? Oh, yeah, okay, so this is an interesting one. Well, let's just mention it real quick, and then we'll get on to other things here. So Jonathan Ambarian does a good job at the state capitol, by and large, for the Montana Television Network. He reports this. The Montana Public Service Commission removes Molnar as president. Now, he's still a member of the Public Service Commission, but apparently they voted to remove him as the president of the commission. Months of turmoil at the state commission that regulates utilities in Montana reached a climax Tuesday. This is from Jonathan Ambarian's report. As a narrow majority on the Montana Public Service Commission voted to remove its president, commissioners voted 3-2 to vacate the position of president, ousting current president Brad Molnar. It's the latest step in an escalating series of controversies dating back to Molnar's announcement that he was being investigated over allegations of unprofessional conduct in the workplace. The commissioners who backed Molnar's removal said Tuesday it was the only way for the PSC to move forward. Commissioner Jeff Wellborn said, quote, "We need to hit the reset button. I think any reasonable person would agree that the mission of this has of late become very disrupted, and I feel a change in the president is necessary in an attempt to put the distractions behind us." The move also required commissioners to amend their internal policies to lower the threshold to remove an officer from 4 votes out of 5 to 3 votes out of 5. The decision leaves Commissioner Jennifer Fielder, the current vice president, presiding over the PSC temporarily until members choose a permanent replacement next week. So, yeah, there you go. That's an update on that story. But again, he still remains a member of the Public Service Commission even after that vote. So it's important that folks know that. Sometimes you might see a headline and think, oh, they've removed him from the PSC. No, he is still actively serving as a member of the Public Service Commission, unless I'm mistaken here. Let's see, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on the show, yeah, we can get to your phone calls here. Also, I want to play audio, a little bit of it yesterday. You guys heard us talk about this story right here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. The far left teachers union here in Montana, they did it again with their teachers conference last week, pushing this woke anti-American agenda. The superintendent weighed in. Hey, big thanks to Finley Warden for filling in as our fill-in producer yesterday, so our producer Caden could enjoy a well-earned day off. Not only thanks to Finley for filling in, but also big thanks to Caden for training him up and getting the whole system up and rolling so that somebody can come fill in, and then the wheels don't fall off. Any of you guys who've got military experience, you know how it goes. If you're in charge and then you leave and everything falls apart, you weren't doing your job, because you are supposed to, you know, develop and train people underneath you to where if you leave and you take a day off or you got pulled into something else, everything just keeps working, right? Well, that's exactly what happened yesterday. So that's a testament to the great work by Caden, you know, constantly improving the systems around here and show production and everything, and obviously did a great job training up Finley, who did a great job filling in for us yesterday. So thanks to both of them. But, yeah, Finley, you know, he loves his conservative commentary stuff. So he actually sat in, as you heard yesterday, he sat in on the MFPE Educators Conference last week. Now, you guys heard about it yesterday, so let me tell you the new information. We've got it on our Montana Talks website right now. Montana's superintendent of public instruction sent a Dear Colleague letter out to school superintendents across the state Tuesday night. This after reports surfaced showing what went on at last week's teacher union conference in Missoula. Now, you guys heard yesterday, you know, what Finley reported on all the crazy woke anti-America nonsense that was being pushed at this teachers union conference in Missoula last week by the MFPE. There's various, you know, conferences that teachers can go to. Some choose to go to this one, or some are forced apparently by their local school district to attend this one, which is put on by the Democrat front group, the MFPE. And so, and if you missed yesterday's show, go back, check out the, you can read our coverage on the Montana Talks website, or you can go back and listen to the audio as well. But basically, what Superintendent Susie Hedlund outlined was, she sent a letter out to all of these school district superintendents across the state outlining to them what the law is, and not only that, state law especially, but also reminding them that, hey, if your programs are in violation of this law, that could jeopardize your funding, whether it's federal funding or state accreditation, and basically making it very clear that she was not pleased with this anti-American CRT, woke, DEI, LGBTQ agenda stuff that was being shoved down the throats of teachers at this teachers union conference last week. But then Finley had a really good question too, which is, wait a minute, could OPI, could your office revoke the professional development credit recognition given to the MFPE conference? Because if the teachers don't get the professional development credit for going to the MFPE conference, why would they go to the MFPE conference? Great question. You'll hear the answer next.
More than look good.
And on flying, it's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the bullets are only flying in one direction, too, by the way. This is worth pointing out. Earlier in the hour, I was talking about how, you know, the Billings Gazette now, instead of covering the story about a public school teacher celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, instead of covering that story, they're covering for the guy. They're covering for the guy, and they're refusing to print his name in their newspaper or in their online coverage. But isn't it interesting that they named Cat in eastern Montana? Cat actually has had death threats leveled against her publicly on X. We have seen the death threats that were leveled against her and the rest of us who had commented and shared her coverage as well. So the Billings Gazette is okay naming her and highlighting her. Now, they named me, but I do a public radio show, so, you know, not public, but you know what I'm saying, like, you're publicly available. And so they have no problem naming her in a story like this, even though she has actually faced death threats. But they won't name the teacher who was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk because they're saying that the teacher is being harassed. How come the teacher never came out and issued a public statement? One way or the other, right? How come the teacher never came out and said, well, hey, look, I just want to address the public. You know, I care so much about, you know, the kids in our schools. And here's what I did. Here's why I did it. I apologize if my whatever. But no, nothing. And this just shows the arrogance of the far left teachers union leadership. They don't care about the rest of their teachers. They care about standing up and rallying around their fellow far-left activists here. There are so many great teachers in the Billings Public Schools that share our views, that are like-minded like you and I. I know because they come up to me or they'll message us and everything. But here's the deal. There's good teachers that don't even share our views, that aren't like-minded like you and I, but they're still good teachers that still do a good job. But those teachers got slapped in the face just the same by their union leadership. Their union leadership does not care about the everyday school teacher in Billings, Montana. They only care about far-left activists like this guy who was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And that's why they're rallying around him. But again, the bullets, Jack Posobiec was having a debate with it. I don't even know who this Harry Sisson guy is. Do you guys know who Harry Sisson is? He's some young liberal commentator guy. I have no idea who he is. But Jack Posobiec was kind of debating this Harry kid and Piers Morgan. He was on Piers Morgan's program. And Jack Posobiec made the point. He says, it's my friends that are the ones that are getting shot. So spare me your little pearl-clutching lectures. I'm summarizing here. Spare me your little pearl-clutching lectures about, well, we're just worried because people are harassing us and people are criticizing us. Well, people are assassinating our friends. The bullets are only flying. People are attacking law enforcement officers in this country. The bullets are only flying in one direction, but yet the Billings Gazette wants to name you in their articles, but they don't want to name public officials who are celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Tells you a lot, doesn't it? All right, let's see. Let's get to Tim and Savage here in just a second. I know he knows a lot about our school system and things like that, so I'm very interested in hearing his take on it. Tim, great to hear from you. I was going to play a little bit of this Susie Hedlund conversation from yesterday, the state superintendent of public instruction, but I'll bet you probably got a chance to listen in on it. Anyway, what's your take on this whole, you know, teachers conference story, the superintendent's response, and more?
Well, I was really frustrated, as my friend Susie expressed yesterday as well. I mean, it's just very frustrating that we have these days set aside in state law for teachers to go get training, and that it's being used for this purpose. It's not what it was meant to be doing. It's not meant to be this indoctrination and all this garbage out of the unions. It's meant to be working on pedagogy, looking at the standards, looking at new teaching techniques, looking at the mental health of students, different, you know, we've made a lot of changes to our curriculum guidelines. We've made some significant changes that are going to be rolling out here next year in math, and between the Board of Public Ed and the Office of Public Instruction, we're doing everything we can to roll this information out and get information out to people. And rather than take the time to learn about the new math standards, they're learning how to put sexually explicit books in libraries, which is just irritating.
Yeah, and still pushing critical race theory training, which is racist, which is anti-American. It's like, wow, shouldn't we be teaching actual American civics? But yeah, that's a great point that you make. And because, yeah, by the way, for those who don't know, Tim is on the Board of Public Ed here in Montana, and he's worked in schools all across the state as well, so he knows this stuff. But yeah, all the things that teachers actually want to learn about, need to learn about, need to know for when they go back in the classroom the following Monday. But yet, this is what the MFPE is pushing, and they're bringing in. Yeah. They brought in this gender ideologue to lecture teachers about the unicorn theory or something like that. That's one of the things that Libs of TikTok has been highlighting at the national level, and it's like, for Pete's sake, yeah, it's just got to be frustrating for people that are actually in the school system, because this just kind of embarrasses everybody, even though it doesn't represent, you know, your day-to-day school teachers across most of Montana, right?
Well, exactly right. And similar to, you know, what I heard from Alex Newman, who was the guest speaker at the Montana Family Foundation banquet last Friday in Billings, is that when this stuff happens in a school or when it happens with a group of teachers, it reflects poorly on the entire profession. And I just want to assure everybody that this is not widespread. This is not, you know, it is widespread, but this is not the norm. These things are happening in pockets around the state, and these probably happen in individual classrooms. But the vast majority, the big percentage of your teachers are out there are just trying to do their best, and they're struggling with all the pressures that are on them, trying to do the absolute best thing they can for their kids. And when you hear about garbage like this, it just reflects poorly on the entire profession. And it's like, I go seeing you. Alex was talking about these different things that are happening throughout the world. And yeah, they are happening, but most of your classrooms are taught by very good teachers that are just absolutely doing their best. And what bothers me is that, the likelihood of losing that pupil instruction time day or the pupil instruction related days, I wouldn't be surprised if the legislature pushes it across next time and just eliminates these days right out of state law, because they were put in there for very good reasons to require that teachers get together. And most of the curricular groups used to get together and do things. I mean, I was a member of the Math Teachers Association, the music teachers, all the different individual groups would get together and have their convention and their conferences on these 2 days and have high quality professional development. But the reality is, in 2025, in a post-COVID era when we are used to Zoomify and used to online instruction, you can get your renewal units by so many other options than face-to-face conferences. And the reality is there's a lot of people that use these conferences just as vacation days because they can go and get their renewal units elsewhere. But there are still some schools that mandate the participation in one form or the other.
Yeah, there is talk now just doing away with these so-called PIR days altogether, because, for parents, trying to figure out what to do with kids for 2 days in the middle of the fall is always kind of like, oh yeah, what do we do with the kids? But I really liked the question that Finley had for Superintendent Hedlund, which is, hey, especially when it comes to, because there's good teachers conferences, and then there's the MFPE teachers conference, and hey, can't OPI just say, hey, we're going to revoke the credentials that are given for this MFPE conference? So if you're a teacher, there's other teachers' conferences you can go to for PIR days, but if you go to this one, you're not going to get professional development credit. I think the MFPE has now just solidified the fact that they can't be trusted.
Well, and it reflects poorly on all of us who are renewal unit providers. I mean, I provide units in two capacities, personally through the mental health classes that I teach, and then also professionally in my role as the county superintendent of schools here for Richland County. So I'm a renewal unit provider for both of those. And when I put in and submit my information, I have to certify that this is something that is valid. I need to identify what area of the curriculum standards that this addresses, what's the benefit going to be, and I have to justify that. And so I think that, Superintendent Hedlund is going to be right on that, having her staff looking at those really closely and seeing, okay, who exactly is teaching what, and is this really what they're doing, and, questioning the validity of this. Because what bothers me, too, is that schools that are doing this, or it's not schools, but the renewal unit providers that are doing this, I mean, they could be potentially putting our state funding at risk because of the fact that Trump's executive order said you're not going to be teaching these sort of things. He eliminated that. And if you're not in compliance, you're putting our federal funds at risk.
Tim, can you stick around for the next segment as well? Because I want to get your take on the Montana Family Foundation banquet as well. You attended the event in Billings Friday night. Stand by. We'll come back to you after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
John Kennedy constructed the modern-day Rose Garden. Gerald Ford installed an outdoor swimming pool. In 1993, Bill Clinton undertook a restoration and, the refurbishment of, tennis courts at the time of the executive mansion. Barack Obama resurfaced the South Ground tennis court into a basketball court, added the White House kitchen garden on the South Lawn. And this left goes crazy because they can't get, this is like they have to wake up every day and they need their fix. They're like drug addicts. Their drug of choice is hating Donald Trump and all things Donald Trump. And they can't stop themselves.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
According to a 2022 FBI statistic, less than 0.01% of all altercations require a lethal response. Now, think about that. Now, we all have a safety plan. If you don't, you need one that includes firearms. That's only necessary less than 1% of the time. So what is your new plan for 99.99% of the time? Well, you can start with the Byrna Launcher, B-Y-R-N-A. It's the less lethal launcher that can de-escalate any situation for 99% of any altercations. Now, the new Byrna Compact Launcher is the smallest, less lethal option to date. It's concealable anywhere. It fires powerful kinetic rounds, tear gas, pepper spray. It also can stop an attacker for up to 40 minutes. No background checks, legal in all 50 states. It ships straight to your door, Byrna, because your first line of defense should always be less lethal. Just go to BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family to be safe. That's BYRNA.com.
Oh. Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We had lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperatures will stay somewhere in the lower to middle 60s. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear to partly cloudy with overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine with highs from 60 in Bozeman to the mid to upper 60s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, roll the tape. That's exactly what we did. We just ran the tape. Finley Warden just turned 20 years old. He went undercover at the Teachers Union Conference put on in Missoula, Montana by the MFPE. He exposed the far-left woke nonsense they were pushing on teachers and librarians. Tuesday morning, in both the 6 and the 7 o'clock hours of the show, we ran the tape and much more. Check it out on the Montana Talks app.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, thankfully, I think Tim and Savage is able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here. We're just about out of time. By the way, first, Tim, before we get to the serious stuff here, I was sitting next to some nice folks at Norma Ashby's 90th birthday party in Great Falls on Saturday. And you know, you ask people, oh, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? And this lady said, oh, I grew up in Sunburst, if you know where that's at. I said, of course I know where Sunburst is at, I said. And so I brought up your name, and she's like, oh, yeah, he's great. By the way, he lost a lot of weight. I don't know how he did it. And I'm like, well, I know. So I told her, I was like, well, I know how he did it. He did it through Billings' last diet. And, of course, I go right into radio mode. You know, I lost 33 pounds in under 3 months, and he lost 100 pounds using the remote option all the way out on the Mondakistan border. By the way, go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. Anyways, full sales pitch mode there, right? It just happens everywhere you go now, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah, you make sure that that Dale gets notes that on the sponsorship there that you gave a live remote from the birthday party.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. But you were Friday. That was Saturday night. Friday night, you were at the Montana Family Foundation banquet. Sounds like they had an incredible speaker, Alex Newman. What stood out to you?
Well, it was a packed house in there. It was just an amazing event, and just it was really enjoyable being around a bunch of like-minded people. But Alex, he shared a lot of things, mostly surrounding what the United Nations is doing. And yes, there was a lot of criticism of public education, and it's because of the stuff that we talked about in the previous segment, what is happening that reflects poorly on public education everywhere. And he was, of course, is a huge homeschool advocate, and, you know, I'm an advocate for parents doing what they believe is best for their kids, but there's a lot of great public schools out there. But what he was describing is how the United Nations, which is just a horrible, evil agency, there, and they're saying how for the United Nations, abortion is defined as a human right, and the things that they celebrate, the celebrating of the number of children killed, and especially with what China has done, and saying, well, every child killed is making the climate better, and so they celebrate it as a good thing. And he talked about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child as determined by the government, and, you know, and new moral codes. And I guess what was most disgusting to me as a pastor was describing this Religions for Peace and the Faith for Earth initiative. And anybody who says that Jesus is the way, you're a radical, and you're on the outside, and you're something to be feared. And they talked about at the UN Climate Summit 10 new commandments and a concerted effort to refocus religious teachings to a one-world government, one-world religion that leaves Jesus out. And that was just horrible thing, and what they were talking about. And a quote that I wrote down is, you know, afterlife is determined by your carbon emissions. And something they said is that the earth groans every time a new child is born. And it's just... Whereas it's right in scripture that when God created the earth, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And the earth is not going to be overpopulated. The earth is not going to collapse on itself. It's just this fear-mongering from the United Nations is what really stood out to me.
It's an anti-human agenda. You know, I mentioned Jack Posobiec a little bit earlier. He wrote a book, Unhumans, about these cultural Marxist leftists in particular. And then with about a minute to go, weren't you telling me that to symbolize their crazy climate anti-human agenda, they actually climbed up Mount Sinai and then came back down with their own climate Ten Commandments?
Yeah, that was that part you talked about with the new Ten Commandments was a symbolic trip that they went up Mount Sinai and came down, and Alex had pictures of them when they came down. They're holding up the tablets, you know, like you see depicted in the movies with Moses holding the Ten Commandments up high, and they just have all of this climate stuff. And I mean,
sick and twisted.
Climate is a religion.
It just shows, it is, and just shows how evil and sick and twisted and straight up blasphemous they're being right now as well. Yeah, that was crazy stuff. Sounds like the Montana Family Foundation also laid out some really cool plans about a facility they're working on in the state capital city of Helena as well. Tim and Savage, thanks for calling in. Thanks for sticking around. Yeah, in fact, I just emailed Jeff Lasloff to see if we can get Alex Newman on this show firsthand, because your summary was incredible. Thanks for sharing that.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.